Well, good evening to each one. So good to be with you again tonight as we, of course, assemble to worship our God in spirit and in truth. We invite each one to take out their Bibles and be turning in God's Word to 2 Chronicles chapter 24, please. 2 Chronicles chapter 24. We're blessed with a good number tonight, and even it being a Wednesday night, we're blessed with visitors in our midst, and we view you as honored guests. Thank you so much for coming our way, being an encouragement to us, and we hope that we can be an encouragement to you, especially in regards to spiritual matters. 2 Chronicles chapter 24, please. The beginning of that chapter, we read, Joash was 7 years old when he became king, and he reigned 40 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Zibiah of Beersheba. Joash did what was right in the sight of the Lord all the days of Jehoiada the priest. And then later on in the text, in verses 17 and 18, we notice a great change in the life of Joash the king. Now after the death of Jehoiada, the leaders of Judah came and bowed down to the king, and the king listened to them. Therefore they left the house of the Lord God of their fathers and served wooden images and idols, and wrath came upon Judah and Jerusalem because of their trespass. It is 2 Chronicles chapter 24 and verse 2 in particular that stands out to me that we read just a moment ago, which said that Joash did what was right in the sight of the Lord. Did you notice all the days of Jehoiada the priest? There have been many since this king, the like Joash, that have come and gone, many that you and I probably know that did what was right in the sight of the Lord all the days of a certain individual in their life that was influential in their lives in regard to spiritual things and serving the Lord. Maybe it was a grandparent, maybe it was a parent or parents, maybe it was a spouse. Maybe it was a gospel preacher or elder that was influential in that person's life spiritually and them being faithful and serving the Lord. But as soon as that, or shortly thereafter, that person passing away, passing from the scene, that individual like Joash was no longer serving the Lord and faithful. You know, this tragic Old Testament story about Joash, ladies and gentlemen, teaches us the extreme importance and the necessity, the absolute necessity, of building our own faith. That's why Joash failed spiritually after Jehoiada, the priest, had died. He did not have his own faith, or at least a faith that would stand on its own. And I'm convinced that this is the very reason why many young people, past and present, as well as saints who are older, have fallen away from the Lord because they really never built their own faith. So we want to talk about that subject this evening. You know, each of us would do well to heed the inspired instructions the Apostle Paul delivered unto the saints in Corinth in that second epistle to them in 2 Corinthians chapter 13. And in verse 5, where we read in the New King James Version, examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you? Unless indeed you are disqualified. We need to each one of us do that tonight. You examine yourself, I examine myself, but we need to examine ourselves as to whether we are really in the faith, to test ourselves. In Philippians chapter 2 and verse 12, therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Of course, grandparents and parents can teach you, but they cannot work out your own salvation for you. You alone must do so. And notice what Paul said to his son in the faith, Timothy. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, in verses 3 through 5, he said, I thank God, whom I serve with a pure conscience, as my forefathers did, as without ceasing I remember you in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy when I call to remembrance, notice, the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded is in you also. Let me ask you something tonight. Is your faith genuine? Is it real? Is it sincere? Is it your own? It should be, and ultimately, it must be, to be pleasing unto God. And so let us talk tonight about the absolute necessity of building your own faith. When I think about that, building your own faith, I guess one question that comes to my mind that we need to answer is how? How does one go about building their own faith? May I suggest to you, number one, that you would search and examine the evidence for yourself. Search and examine the evidence for yourself. If you'll turn in your Bibles, please, in your New Testaments, to 2 Timothy chapter 3. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, notice verses 16 and 17. Paul says, All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. The Bible claims for itself, if you'll notice here and many other places, to contain the words of God, the revelation of God unto mankind. Here Paul says that all Scripture, not some, not most, but all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Inspiration means God breathed. He is the source. It originated with Him. And so when we're talking about building your own faith, we need to go to the source of faith. We need to go to God's Word, and we need to search and examine it. We need to read it and find out for ourselves. Because many have questions and many even have doubts. Maybe about God Himself, whether He exists. And they need to be first, perhaps, convinced that there is a God, there is a Creator, there is an intelligent designer. Maybe they believe in God, but they're not so sure about the Bible, that it is His Word, or that it hasn't been corrupted by men in some way. And certainly there are versions out there of the Bible that have been corrupted by men. But certainly there have been those in the church that have been raised by Christian parents, and they begin to have questions and doubts. And that's okay. What's not okay is not to take the time to search and examine the evidence for yourself. Because I'm convinced, fully convinced, that if you will take the time to search and examine the evidence for yourself, you will be convinced that not only is there a God, but the Bible is His Word, and it contains the truth. In Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, it says what? So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So if we're going to build our own faith, what are we going to have to do? We're going to have to take the Bible, we're going to have to take God's Word in our hands, and we're going to have to read it. Because that's where faith, that's how faith is produced, by reading His Word. You know, Acts chapter 17 and verse 11, when Paul and Silas, two new preachers, came to town, right? There's a new preacher that came to town this week that you didn't know before, most of you. What do you do when a new teacher or preacher stands before you? Or what do you do when any preacher stands before you? You got to test them, right? 1 John 4:1, test the spirits, whether they are of God, for many false prophets have gone out into the world. And those Bereans did the right thing. They didn't know Paul and Silas. And so when they came to town, they tested those preachers to make sure that what they were teaching matched up with God's Word. They searched and examined the evidence for themselves. It says those of Berea were more noble-minded than those of Thessalonica, in that they received the word of God, how? With all readiness of mind, and they searched the Scriptures daily. Why? To find out whether these things were so, what Paul and Silas were preaching. That's all I'm saying to you tonight. Maybe mom and dad taught you and brought you to services since you were born and took you to Bible class and you've heard many sermons. But here's the thing, you got to have your own faith. You got to build your own faith. Right? They can instill in your hearts and mind God's word, but you're going to come of age and you're going to have to decide for yourself and search, examine the evidence for yourself. Is what dad and mom taught me the truth? Is what grandma and grandpa taught me? Is that really the truth? But take the time to do that. There's too many people that, and young people that I've met in my life that had doubts and questions, and instead of letting someone know about it so they could study with someone, they get on the internet and start doing some reading and start coming across things that further undermine their faith in God and in the Bible and the truth that is taught there. Be like the Bereans. Take God's word and search the Scriptures to find out whether these things are so. In Luke chapter 1, I love the way Luke begins his gospel here as he writes to Theophilus. And he says, backing up to verse 1, "Inasmuch as many have taken in hand to set in order a narrative of those sayings which have been fulfilled among us, just as those who from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word delivered them to us, it seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write to you an orderly account, most excellent Theophilus." Notice verse 4. "That you may know what? That you may know the certainty of those things in which you were instructed." You and I can know for sure, with no doubts, the certainty of those things in which we have been instructed, if we'll search and examine the evidence for ourselves. It's amazing when you take time to do that. You maybe do a study like how we got the Bible. Okay? And that's a very interesting study. But then you begin to compare the ancient manuscripts of the biblical text to any other ancient manuscript. Doesn't come close to the wealth of manuscripts that support our biblical text. Doesn't even touch the hem of the garment, so to speak. And then when you consider that the Bible was written by about the 66 books of the Bible was written by about 40 men over about 1,500 years, and that there's a unifying theme throughout the entire Bible, God's plan to save mankind from sin, and that Jesus Christ is the theme of the Bible. In every book of the Bible, He's the theme of the whole message. And you say, how does that happen? Because you got 40 different men, and many of them didn't know each other, and they lived at different times and different places. Written over 1,500 years, these 66 books, and yet there's a unifying theme, which is further proof of what? The inspiration of the Bible. And then you look at the historical infallibility of the Bible. You look at biblical prophecy. You look at the scientific accuracy of the Bible and all these evidences within the Scriptures, so that you may know the certainty of its inspiration and the certainty of its message, and that it does contain the truth. You remember Thomas, poor Thomas, got the nickname Doubting Thomas, right? Here's the thing. None of the apostles believed when they were told that Jesus was raised from the dead. He just happened to be absent when Jesus first appeared to the other apostles. And after they saw Jesus, of course they believed. But Thomas hadn't seen, right? And so in John chapter 20, he makes his point pretty clear. I'm not going to believe until I see him for myself, until I put my hands in the print of his nails and put my finger into the print of the nails and put my finger into put my hand into his side. He says, I will not believe. He demanded what? He demanded evidence. Well, Jesus gave him that opportunity to search and examine the evidence for himself. And so what did Jesus say to Thomas there in John chapter 20? He said, reach your finger here and look at my hands. And reach your hand here and put it into my side. See, Jesus knew exactly what Thomas had said a week earlier. Do not be what? Do not be unbelieving, but believing. And Thomas answered and said to him, my Lord and my God. Jesus said to him, Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. If you're going to build your own faith, if I'm going to build my own faith, we have to be honest and willing enough to put forth the effort to search and examine the evidence for ourselves. And again, I'm completely convinced if an individual do that with a good and honest heart, they will be convinced that there is a God, that the Bible is His Word, that it is inspired. They will know the certainty of those things in which they were instructed. And when you get to that point, we need to go further to build our own faith. We need to become a diligent student of God's Word. 2 Timothy 2, verse 15. Study, King James Version says, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman who needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, handling accurately the word of truth, the New American Standard Bible says. Did you hear that? Study or be diligent to present yourself approved to God. It takes work. It takes effort. We can't be lazy when it comes to reading and studying the Bible and expect our faith to be established and for it to grow and mature if we don't put forth the effort and put forth the work. And so study the Bible with regularity. Not just this surface study, but dig into it deep. Get some depth into your study. Make notes. Write down questions. Seek the answers if you don't understand something you read. Meditate and ponder upon it both day and night. 1 Peter 2:2, desire the milk of the Word that you may what? That you may grow thereby. You see, if we'll desire Bible study, we're going to make time for a Bible study. And when we do it, Peter says, we'll grow. And that means our faith will be growing in the process. 2 Peter 3:18, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so, yes, number one, search and examine the evidence for yourself. Number two, how to build your own faith. Become a diligent student of God's Word. Can you describe yourself as a diligent, can you describe yourself as a student of God's Word, let alone a diligent student? If not, perhaps this lesson is for all of us, right? To become a better student of the inspired Word of God. Thirdly, how to build your own faith. Talk to God often. How many passages, how many scriptures speak of prayer and the importance of prayer in our lives? Paul, to the saints in Thessalonica, pray without ceasing. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. James chapter 4, verse 8, draw near to God and He will what? Draw near to you. Isn't that one of the best ways? Maybe the first thing that comes to our mind about how do I draw near to God? Well, how about we draw near to God in prayer? Draw near before the throne of grace through prayer. But if I don't draw near to God, He's not going to draw near to me. If I don't want Him in my life or the center of my life, then He's not going to be there. You see. But if we will dedicate some time to prayer, if we will devote ourselves to it, our faith is going to grow. Our relationship with the Lord is naturally going to grow. Think about any relationship. And what is key to a good relationship? We can list a number of things, but one thing that is key to a good relationship is communication, right? If you have a husband and wife, you have in their marriage a lack of communication, little to no communication, what's going to happen to those two spouses? Are they going to be close? No. Over time, they're just going to drift further and further away from one another, aren't they? They'll be like two ships passing in the night, living their own lives. And sadly, that oftentimes happens in marriage. It wasn't like that when they were dating. It wasn't maybe like that when they first got married, and maybe they had kids and busy with the kids and raising them and going in different directions, and maybe husband and wife are pursuing different careers, and they're just not investing in their marriage and talking and communicating. And we know what oftentimes happens, the breakdown of the marriage, divorce. Take that now, spiritually speaking, with yourself and God, myself and God, our Heavenly Father. If we're not talking to Him, if we're not communicating with Him on a regular basis, what happens to that relationship? If I'm not drawing near to Him, He's not drawing near to me. So how's your prayer life? How's mine? Are you communicating with God as you should? Because if you do that, and you do that on a regular basis, and we're praying without ceasing, it's a habit, a good habit in our life, then our faith is going to be built, it's going to be established, it's going to grow, it's going to mature. Number four, how to build your own faith: worship God faithfully. In Acts chapter 2, in verse 41, we read, "Then those who gladly received the word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them." Verse 42, "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and the breaking of bread and in prayers." Brethren, if like the first century Christians, we will continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, the breaking of bread, and in prayers, our faith will be strong and enduring. If we do what? If we continue steadfastly, not sporadically, not hit and miss, but we continue steadfastly in these spiritual things and activities, our faith is going to grow. It just naturally will grow, you see. In Hebrews 10, 24 and 25, "If we will refuse to forsake the assembly of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, and be present," and let me underscore, not just be present, but active participants in the worship services, our faith will grow and become stronger. Because when we are here, the Bible says we are being stirred up to what? Love and good works. So if I'm not here, if you're not here, we're not able to be stirred up to love and good works. We're not able to exhort and encourage one another. We're not able to receive all the spiritual benefits of worshiping together. Someone says, "Well, I never seem to get anything out of it. I never seem to get anything out of it when I come." What do you put into it? Not just when you come, but before you come. What? "I don't get anything out of Bible class." Did you do your lesson? If you will just do your lesson for Bible class, you'll get something out of it. And then when you come to Bible class, if you'll listen to the Bible class teacher and follow along in your Bible and participate, oh, you'll get something out of it, you see. And then when it's worship service time, if our mindset is right, that I'm here to worship Almighty God in spirit, right attitude, right mindset, and in truth, according to what the Bible reveals, you're going to naturally get a lot of good out of it, you see. If we are paying attention to the words of the songs of praise, you're going to get something out of it. Because remember, Colossians 3:16 says what? "Teaching and admonishing one another through psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, as we make melody in our hearts to the Lord." You're going to get something out of it when a godly brother leads us in prayer, and in unison we're lifting up our prayers unto God and be able to say amen at the end of that prayer. And you should get hopefully something out of it when we gather around the Lord's table on the first day of the week and remember our Savior's suffering and death. How can you leave here and say, "I didn't get anything out of it"? Even the preacher's sermon aside, how do you not get anything out of it? That is, if you're not paying attention, if you're not spiritually interested, if you're not putting anything into it, then I understand that you wouldn't get anything out of it. But as we read in 1 Corinthians 14:26, Paul said, "Let all things be done for edification." He was talking about when saints assemble for worship. When saints assemble for worship, that's the context. And he said, "Let all things be done for edification." What does edification mean? Building up. Building up what?
our faith.
So think about that. The purpose of all that we do whenever we assemble together for worship is to build up our faith. Do you see then how important it is? I think you do see. You're here tonight on a Wednesday night. And some are not. That perhaps could be. So you, I think you recognize and you see the importance of being here so that you might be edified, so that your faith may be further strengthened. And when we're not here, and we can't be here, you're sick, you were scheduled to work, you couldn't get out, you miss it, don't you? And maybe there's even when you can't come, and the few times that I've been sick and I couldn't come and stand before and preach, but also join with the saints to worship, there is a feeling of also guilt, but I'm missing out. And it should be that way, because we are missing out when we're not here. Well, we talked a little bit about how. Let's talk about why. Why do you need to build your own faith? Well, first of all, it's impossible to please God without having your own faith, right? Hebrews 11:6. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who what? Diligently seek Him. You see, not just believe in God. We must believe in Him to please Him, but we also must diligently seek Him. But if I don't have my own faith, I can't possibly please Him. Secondly, I can't be saved without belief. Jesus said in John 8:24, therefore I said to you that you will die in your sins. For if you do not believe that I am He, you will die in your sins. Now, if you have a Bible similar to mine, and I'm reading from the New King James Version, my word He, if you do not believe that I'm He is italicized, meaning it was added by the translators, but it literally reads there, if you do not believe that I am. And it would be a little later in this chapter where He said that, I am. And when Jesus said, I am, He's saying, I'm God, and I've always existed. I am eternal. And so, not only that we believe that Jesus is the Son of God, the Christ, that's definitely there and here in the text, but He is God, He is deity, He is eternal, He's always existed. And if we're not convinced and convicted of that, we don't believe that, then Christ makes it very clear that individual will die in his or her sins. And if you die in your sins, then what does that mean? I don't have any hope. That's a hopeless situation, to die in a state of my sins. I died in my sins. And so to be saved, we must believe, have faith in Jesus Christ. If we don't have our own faith, we don't build our own faith, we're going to lack the ability to resist the devil and overcome his temptations. Notice with me in 1 Peter 5, please, in your Bibles. 1 Peter 5, verses 8 and 9. Be sober. Be vigilant, Peter says. Because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. Let me ask you something. How can you and I possibly resist the devil steadfast in the faith if we don't have our own faith? Well, we can't. I can't resist the devil steadfast in the faith if I haven't built and established my own faith. And he will devour me. He will devour you. In Ephesians 6, in verse 16, in that great text of putting on the whole armor of God. When we come to verse 16, you remember what Paul said? He said, above all, taking what? Taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. But again, think about it, just logically here, if Jesse has not built his own faith, how can I then have a shield of faith to prevent the fiery darts from penetrating me in my life? I can't. And he's won. We have to have our own faith. you see, to resist the devil and his attacks and the temptations that come our way. Number four, why build your own faith? Because we'll not be able to endure tribulation or persecution. In Matthew chapter 13, in Matthew's account of the parable of the sower, notice what Jesus says here about the seed that fell on the stony ground. He says, but he who received the seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately, notice what happens, he stumbles. Why did that happen to him? Because here's a person that hears the word, he receives it with joy, he believes it, he obeys it. But as soon as trouble arises because of the word of God, he stumbles. Because it says he has no what? He has no root in himself. His faith is shallow. It didn't put any depth down. No roots got down because of those stones that were in the way. You see, his faith did not mature or grow as it should have after he received the word with joy and believed it. And so we're in trouble when problems come up, when tribulation or persecution arises because of God's word and being a Christian. If we haven't put down some depth to our faith, some roots, oh ye of little faith, if we have a weak faith, a little faith, we're in trouble when the trials and tribulations and problems of life come along. And there will be trials and there will be tribulations of a variety. And 1 Peter chapter 1, please notice. 1 Peter chapter 1, in verses 6 and 7. The Apostle Peter says here, "In this you greatly rejoice, that though now, for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials. Notice that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ." You remember what Paul said about Timothy's faith there in 2 Timothy 1, verses 3 through 5? He said, the genuine faith that is in you. What's going to happen to you and me? The trials, the fiery trials of life, they're going to test the genuineness of our faith, whether it's for real or not, whether it can withstand the trials that we experience in life. And your faith and my faith is going to come under fire. And some individuals are going to attempt to undermine your faith. And so it is essential not only to build your own faith, but to mature it and grow that faith so that you can withstand these trials and tribulations. Why build your own faith? Because if you do not, you will be spiritually weak, you'll be prone to compromise, and ultimately to apostasy, to falling away altogether. In 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 13, Paul says there, watch, stand fast in the faith. Be brave, be strong. Again, how can you and I stand fast in the faith if we haven't established and built our own faith? Well, we cannot. In Ephesians 4, notice please in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 13 and 15. Ephesians 4, verses 13 through 15. Till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into Him who is the head, Christ. Did you notice that though? And if you were to back up, say to verse, at least verse 11 down through verse 16, it's all about spiritual growth and maturity in Christ. But one of the reasons why this is so important, brethren, is because of what Paul states in verse 14, and that is that we should no longer be what? Children. I mean, what do babies, if there's no problems with them, what are they going to naturally do if they're fed? If mama gives them the milk, they're going to grow. And then they maybe get some baby food. And then they go a little further and begin to get some more solid food. And all of us have seen that. Those of us who have children or grandchildren, we see that. We have four of our own. Our youngest is going to turn two. But not only is she talking more, she's eating more, of course. But here's the thing. We know there's a problem with our child if they don't develop, if they don't grow. We take them to the doctor. We try to find out what's going on. We run tests. Well, same thing in a similar vein, spiritually speaking. If we remain children, there's something wrong, and we endanger ourselves spiritually. That we should no longer be children who are tossed to and fro and carried about by what? With every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. You see, a mature and growing faith will help protect us from the errors of men. And there are so many errors of men out there, right? In the religious world, including even among the Lord's people. False prophets, false teachers will arise. But when you and I continue to study God's Word and build our faith and grow and mature it, we'll be able to recognize when something is being taught that is wrong, that is contrary to God's will. But if we don't build our own faith, here's the thing again, we're going to be weak, we're going to be children, we're going to be prone to compromise the faith and ultimately depart from it altogether. Why? Because every follower of Christ must have his or her own convictions. Paul said in Galatians 2:20, he declared, "For I have been crucified with Christ, and it's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me." Do you hear his convictions coming out from that passage? I hope you do. Now that's great. Paul said that and he meant that, and that was true in his life. But here's the thing. That must be true for Jesse Flowers. That must be true for Mike Heppner. That must be true for Heath Rogers, you see. That must be true for Jeff and for Sandy, for each of us, that I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer Jesse who lives, but Christ who lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. My father had convictions. My mother had convictions and still does. My father's passed away. My grandmother and grandfather on both sides, they had convictions. I was blessed with faithful grandparents on both sides. My sisters, I'm convinced, they have their own convictions. And I do. I know the certainty of those things in which I was instructed. Do you? Do you know the certainty of those things in which you're instructed, like Luke said to Theophilus? If you don't, again, go back to point one. Search and examine the evidence for yourself, that you may know the certainty of those things in which you were instructed. Then keep studying and be a diligent student. And pray regularly and worship faithfully. And all these things that we've discussed, but you have to have your own convictions. Paul said in Philippians 1:21, "For to me to live is Christ." Life to Paul revolved and centered on Jesus Christ. You know, for to me to live is NASCAR. For to me to live is fishing. For to me to live is football. It's okay to have various interests and likes and hobbies, but I hope to live to you. It's about Jesus Christ, your Savior. The life that I now live in the flesh, I live by what? Faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. And so he said, "For to me to live is Christ and to die is what? Gain." Paul wasn't afraid of death, and I was a faithful Christian. He lived for Christ and he knew he would die in Christ and it would be gain. Do you and I have those kind of convictions within us? I hope so. If not, we need to get there. We need to develop that. Our faith needs to grow to that point. In 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12, Paul says, "For this reason I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep what I have committed to him until that day." Do you have those same convictions? You know whom you have believed, And you're persuaded, you're fully persuaded that He is able to keep what you have committed to Him until that great day. I hope so. And finally, on the why question, why build your own faith? I can't think of a better reason than this. So you will spend eternity in heaven. We read in 1 Peter chapter 1, going back to that text in verse 9, the apostle says, receiving the end of your faith. Think about that statement. Or that phrase there, receiving the end of your faith. That's what we're talking about tonight, right? Building your own faith. What's the end of my faith? What do I receive? Receiving the end of your faith. He says, the salvation of your souls. Isn't that the end goal? Yes, when you obeyed the gospel, you were saved, but now we're talking where we're going to spend eternity, heaven or hell. And to receive the end of our faith is going to be the salvation of our souls for all eternity. Revelation chapter 2, verse 10, what did Jesus say? Be thou faithful unto death, and you will receive what? Crown of life. Think about that statement again. He said what? Be faithful unto death. If I haven't built my own faith, if you haven't built your own faith, how can I be faithful until death? Well, I can't be. But to receive that crown of life, I must be. You know, we began the lesson tonight with Joash, king of Judah. He was seven years old when he became king. I want to mention one more king of Judah before we close tonight. Eight kings after Joash, there was a king named Josiah. And he was just a year older when he came to the throne. He was 8 years old. Josiah was 8 years old when he became king, and he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem. And he did what was right in the sight of the Lord, and walked in the ways of his father David, and he did not turn from aside to the right hand or to the left. For in the eighth year of his reign, while he was still young, he began to seek the God of his father David. Do you see a difference between Joash and Josiah? Joash did what was right in the sight of the Lord all the days of Jehoiada the priest. Josiah turned 16 years old and he made up his own mind for himself, I'm going to seek the God of my father David. And boy, did he ever. You read the story of Josiah lately? One of my favorite stories of the kings is Josiah. One reason our second son was named Josiah is because of this. Well, the main reason he was named Josiah was because I love this character of the Bible so much. All the things he did, ridding the land of idolatry, destroying it, gathering the people together, reading, having the covenant of the law of Moses read to them, dedicating himself with great zeal and fervor to serve the Lord, and determined to get Judah to do so as well. You know, a young person turns 16, and what are they thinking of? Right? Driving. Getting that license. And that's okay. I did too. But I tell you what this young man did. Remember thy Creator in the days of thy youth. Right? Ecclesiastes 12:1. He did that before the difficult days come. And you say, and the years draw near when you say, I have no pleasure in them. He remembered his Creator in the days of his youth. He built his own faith. And as you read his story, you see what that involved and what that entailed and what that meant. Brothers and sisters in Christ and friends, there's nothing more important that you can do for yourself spiritually than to build your own faith. The journey of faith begins with hearing the Word of God. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, Romans 10, 17. Paul said, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation for everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek, Romans 1, 16. We would invite you this evening to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ, the power of God unto salvation, to have faith. Yes, in God, and diligently seek Him in your life. Read His Word daily. That's where faith comes from hearing God's Word. in receiving it with all readiness of mind like the noble-minded Bereans. Search the Scriptures daily to find out whether these things are so. Don't just accept it because I said it. Study it for yourself. If you have questions, let the elders know. Let Heath know. Let me know. If you want to study tonight, we'll do it. Be happy to. But if you understand the conditions of salvation, that you must believe that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, John 3:16, that you must repent of your sins, as all of us must, because we've all sinned, and it's commanded that we do repent, or we'll perish, Luke 13:3, that you confess Christ, Matthew 10:32, that you would be baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins, Acts 2:38, your sins will be washed away. You'll be raised to walk in newness of life. You'll become a child of God. You'll be saved. And you'll have the hope of heaven. And then grow your faith. Don't make the mistake of being baptized and go on your way rejoicing and not finding a great group of Christians like you have here at Knollwood to identify with and continue to be regular in assembling with the saints and worshiping God and growing in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, your Savior. Why not build your faith upon Jesus Christ, be saved from your sins, and then continue to build upon that rock? If you are a child of God, but there's sin in your life, then please repent, confess, come back to Him. If you're subject to the Lord's invitation, come now, please, as together we stand and we sing.